You ever have brilliant ideas in the shower or solve a problem while you're taking a walk or doing the dishes? Research actually backs up this phenomenon of common tasks boosting our creativity. It's sometimes called the shower effect. You know, when Archimedes had that eureka moment in the bathtub and discovered the principle of buoyancy, he's probably benefiting from the shower effect, or in his case, the bathtub effect. We're taking a look at the science behind those shower moments, how we can use them to be more creative. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. When do you have your best ideas? Have you had this kind of moment? You're beating your head against a wall trying to solve a problem at work, around the house, and then you step away from it and do something different, and then the answer comes to you? Call it at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. Richard Sema is the Brain Matters columnist at the Washington Post's Well-Being Desk, covering the neuroscience of everyday life. He was a neuroscience researcher for years before becoming a journalist. Richard, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Rob.
Before we dig into the research, and there is research on this, you write, let's talk about creativity a bit. People might think creativity, that's, you know, writing a song, writing a book, painting a picture, whatever. Creativity pops up a lot in our lives, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's anything that gets you out of your normal everyday thinking about both what you're working on, but also like how you enjoy yourselves. Like, I always think of like when I was a kid and just being outside playing with sticks and having imaginary sword fights. And, you know, like you could apply creative thinking to how you have fun, as well as like how you plan social events. Also, if you have something to like problem solve at work, it's good to think outside the box.
And I do this sometimes, you know, I'm staring at a screen trying to write a, say, a radio script or something like that. And I stare and stare and get nothing done. And then I just walk around the halls for a few minutes and then it sorts itself out and I can go back and start writing. Do you have things like that in your own life?
Oh, definitely. I definitely take advantage of long showers when I'm also writing and not really sure how to explain something, and just sitting in the shower, it seems to just percolate up while I'm like washing my hair or something, which is nice. And as you mentioned, there's like research backing this up where they had physicists and writers write down their most creative ideas every day. And it turns out 20% of these thoughts came during showers or while they're doing chores away from their desk. And it's pretty amazing to me. And also the researchers mentioned like how many other things can you do as well in the shower or doing chores as you can at work?
And there's research looking at what's going on in our brains, sometimes pretty creative research. What kind of things are out there that have illustrated, you know, how this works?
Yeah, so this shower effect is the product of what psychologists called mind wandering, which is basically when your thoughts are anywhere else besides the task you're currently doing. And so mind wandering could be negative, right? Like you could be like going into rumination or like dark thoughts, but it really depends on what you're thinking about. And there's research showing that if you mind wander about something you're interested in, you can be happier and in some cases more creative. So there is one study that was like, you know, basically looking at what kinds of activities people are doing while they're mind wandering. And there's a sweet spot. It's like if the activity is moderately engaging, people were more likely to have creative outputs for an experiment. Because it seems like if you're doing something that is engaging your attention, giving your mind something to sort of like stimulate it, something to nosh on, that was good for the creative process. But if it was something really boring, then they were completely like off task. They were thinking about other things that didn't really matter, weren't really creative. Right, but if it's also something too engaging, you don't have enough mind space to think about those ideas that you are percolating in the back of your mind.
Right. So staring at a wall isn't going to help. That's too boring. If I'm playing a super intense video game, that's probably occupying, I guess, what, too much of my mind to come up with that creative solution?
Yeah, exactly. You're probably too engaged about, you know, your Mario jump puzzle and not really having much to like think about what you're writing about.
We're talking to Richard Sema with the Washington Post Well-Being Desk, looking at the shower moment, how to harness creativity, our problem-solving skills, by stepping away from the problem itself, taking a shower, going for a walk. That some kind of activity can help us percolate, develop our solution, our creativity. Do you have something like this? 800-642-1234 is the number to call. However you use creativity, at home, at work, whatever, are there things that you do to get away from the problem and come up with a solution? By doing something else, call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Let's bring on a caller now. Dennis is with us in Two Rivers. Dennis, hi.
Hi, Rob. Ah, that shower moment, it's all wet.
No, but anyway, seriously, Dennis.
Sometimes what happens is I'll be listening to something, and it connects with what I've been thinking about, whether it's something from the previous day or the current day. Have you ever heard of the Ideas Network of Public Radio?
I have, Dennis. Do you get those serendipity moments where something connects like that?
Yeah.
Definitely. Dennis, thanks a lot. Richard, reaching out to some other form, you know, if you're doing computer code, listening to music or something like that, are there ways to maybe get that serendipitous inspiration that Dennis finds?
Yeah, that's an amazing example. And I'm glad that Dennis called in about that because, yeah, it's like these moments allow you to have more stimulation that you wouldn't otherwise probably get if you're just sitting at your desk. Going back to that first study, looking at the physicists and the writers and the ideas that they had while they're not working, a lot of those ideas were actually more of these aha moments, these eureka breakthroughs on something that they were struggling with. It seems like if you're doing something else, you are going to be in a different mind space. You are going to have different stimulation. So, of course, your mind will produce different thoughts than if you're just in the same exact desk working on the same exact problem in the same exact way.
Dennis, thanks a lot for that call at 800-642-1234. Okay, there's research you write about from I think almost exactly a year ago about what's happening in our brains we're being creative. And this is a pretty wild study. Can you tell us about this?
Yeah, so basically you know, researchers have been looking for a while at what happens in the brain when we are both mind-wandering and also when we're doing something creative. So in the brain, there's a network of different brain regions called the default mode network, which is activated when we are thinking inward. You know, we're daydreaming or we're mind-wandering. You know, we're not paying as much attention to the outside world. And there's been a lot of evidence showing that this default mode network in the brain is, you know, really good for creativity. And last year in January, we had the first, you know, experiment that demonstrated if you disrupt this default mode network, you have, you are able to disrupt creativity. So, you know, this group at the University of Utah had patients who were going in for brain surgery because they had tumors, which, you know, it allows for the very rare opportunity to like stimulate their brains, which is part of routine surgery. And they had the patients do what's this classic creativity task called the alternate use task. You give them, you know, a standard item like a brick or a pencil, and you ask how many different ways can you use this in weird, novel like settings. And so, you know, the patients, when they weren't having their default mode network disrupted, they were able to be like, yeah, a tire, you could use it as a cushion, you could use it as a garden fountain, you could cut it up as jewelry. But when they simulated this default mode network, you know, they asked this one patient, what can you do with a pencil? She struggled. She was like, you could draw with it. You can draw cartoons, mostly draw. And, you know, after they stopped stimulating and like inhibiting the default mode network, she was able to get it back. But it showed that this network seems really important for, you know, this divergent out of the box thinking.
Let's bring on another caller at 800-642-1234. Meg is with us in Hudson. Meg, hello.
Hello. I have to say that when you were talking about being creative in the shower, it's kind of embarrassing to admit, but I was a reporter for 30 years and I did a lot of writing, and that's where I wrote all the best opening graphs and my best columns while I was taking a shower. So being all wet is a good thing.
Now, Meg, you can't write it down while you do it. Were you able to retain after you had that inspiration long enough to get over to the whatever notepad or computer and get it on paper?
Yeah, but that's why I had to retire, because my memory started to go. So,
oh, okay.
But no, I was able to retain it, and I was always amused by the fact that the most responses I got to my columns were usually the ones that were pretty much predominantly written in the shower. So,
no kidding, Meg. Thanks a lot
awesome.
For sharing that. Yeah, Richard. I mean, Do you have some advice on how to harness that so people can figure out to do what Meg did?
Yeah, there's some people who recommend getting waterproof notebooks so you could write it down. Because, like, yeah, you know, you're there, you're having the thoughts, and you don't always know when it's going to come up. Might as well have something close at hand. I know there's a story of, like, Carl Sagan, a, you know, really prominent science communicator, used to, like, draw on the fog of the shower and maybe write down what, you know, he wrote there afterwards. But, yeah, there's some ways to harness it more directly. But yeah, I haven't taken that extra step. I also have shower thoughts and just scramble to my notepad or my computer afterwards to quickly jot down that great, like, idea or graph before it disappears.
Meg, thanks a lot for sharing that with us. Glenn is with us now on the road. Glenn, hi.
Well, hello. How are we doing?
Good. What did you want to tell us about or ask about?
Well, I got to hear part of Meg's comments, which is I just wanted to reiterate the same thing. Like, I could be laying in bed or I could be taking a walk, nothing. But as soon as I get in the shower, that's where all the ideas come. And I was wondering if there's been a study done about water, because I really do feel like it has something to do with water.
Interesting, Glenn. Is there something about the sound, the feel of water, Richard? I don't know if there's been research on that yet.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything directly that I know of testing, you know, whether it's the sound or the feel or, like, just it being just a pleasant experience for most people, the warmth. There's nothing that I know of, but I think that's a good place to look. One thought is that, you know, it is, you know, providing a very different context. Like, you're usually not wet, you're usually closed during the day. So you're in a completely different mind state because you are experiencing completely different things than you normally are. So maybe that has something to do with it, but the water angle would be really interesting to look at.
Definitely, Glenn. Thanks a lot for the question. We're talking to Richard Sima, Brain Matters columnist at the Washington Post Well-Being Desk, talking to us about the science of creativity, why everyday tasks can help boost it. Things like maybe you have great ideas in the shower or doing the dishes or out for a walk or, well, you tell us. Call 800-642-1234. Where do you go when you need to come up with an idea to solve a problem? Do you just grind it out, keep plugging away at it, or do you need to step away and do something different? What is that something different? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up here on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. We're picking up our conversation with Washington Post columnist Richard Sima about the science of creativity, the research finding that there's a reason you have better ideas in the shower or maybe while doing household chores or walking or a lot of things we could find those creative solutions. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have something like this? Have you had great ideas in the shower, or are there things you do to break up your work day or your creativity where you go away from it, and that's where you get your good ideas? Call 800-642-1234 and tell us about it, or ask your questions about the neuroscience of creativity. 800-642-1234 is the number to call. Back to your calls now. Russ is with us on the road. Russ, hi.
Hey, nice to talk to you. Well, I guess I'll throw a little water on the whole deal about showers. I get my best ideas when I wake up in the morning. I kind of linger there laying in bed. It's like my mind has been kind of working on it subconsciously. And so it comes to light. I get up and I go to it.
I get that sometimes too. Now, are you able to do things like you're able to hop out of bed and put it into action, Richard, right away? Because my worry is, again, if I dawdle too long, then I eat breakfast and make the coffee, I forget about it.
I get right to it. I've been inventing novel ways to make third houses specifically for Purple Martins. And so I go right down to my workshop and start putting it into action.
Excellent. Thanks a lot for sharing that with us, Russ. Richard, you had some thoughts.
Yeah, that's really cool, Russ. Actually, that is probably going to be a follow-up piece about how sleeping on it does actually work for creativity, because there is research showing that your mind does work on these open loop questions. Like, you haven't solved something, it's still in your subconscious working on in the background. So if you go to sleep with that question in mind, you might wake up with a solution or something new to play with, you know, when you wake up. And I think a similar maybe piece of advice is like your phone is there if you want to jot it down before you get out of bed, or something to write it down just so you don't, you know, have it dissipate when you wake up fully.
And thanks a lot for sharing that, Russ. I want to contrast that with dreaming, because sometimes I think we wake up and think we had this brilliant ideas in a dream. And then, you know, if we write it down in the morning, it's like ninja penguin tablecloth or something like that, right? Our dreaming isn't really necessarily going to solve our problems.
Yeah, not necessarily. But it's interesting, because I was actually talking with my mother about this, and she's a programmer, and she brought up that she could actually do computer coding in her dreams. And I asked her, it's like, do you actually get to use any of the code? And she's like, yeah, like I solve a lot of problems this way. And
wow.
I was kind of amazed. So I guess your mileage may vary. I certainly don't have that ability.
Thanks a lot for that call. Bob joins us now in Lake Nabogamon. Sorry, Bob. Thanks a lot for calling in.
Nabogamon.
Thank
bag.
You. What did you want to tell us
Northern
about?
Northern Wisconsin. I think a lot of this is related to theta wave activity. T-H-E-T-A. It's when you're laying in bed in the morning, sometimes when you go to sleep at night, sometimes in the shower, you're really creative. And I think that is what a lot of this is. It's at times when you feel safe and relaxed and you're pondering something in the theta wave activity. It's close to sleep.
Interesting. Bob, I don't know much about theta waves. Do you come across this in your line of work?
I'm a nurse anesthetist, and I've been putting people to sleep and waking them up for 35 years.
Ah.
And some of our medicines will negate theta wave activity. Some of it kind of enhances it. And I've had many, many patients just look at me and go, wow, you know, I know that they were in some theta wave activity because something in their life came fresh to them. You know what I mean?
Interesting, Bob. Thanks for sharing that perspective. Richard, I don't know. Is there research out there about the theta waves in the brain? I'm not even sure what they are, and our creativity.
Yeah. So, that's a really interesting insight and line of thinking. But basically, it's a type of brainwave activity, and it's the frequency at which, you know, you have these spikes of brain activity. And I believe theta waves are really fast spiking and seems to correlate with when there's a lot of neural activity. You know, when you're sleeping, it's usually slower, except in certain cases, like during REM sleep, where you have a lot of this fast bursting theta waves. And I believe there's some research showing that this type of brainwave activity is really important for processing information, making memories, and, you know, certain types of learning. So I could definitely see that this could be involved with creativity, though I'm currently not sure what the research is on that, but that's my general knowledge, that these different brainwaves, theta is really important for this type of thinking.
Thanks a lot for the call, Bob. Mike joins us now in Milwaukee. Mike, hi.
Hi, this is Mike.
Yeah, go ahead. What did you want to tell us about, Mike?
Well, I work in manufacturing. I've done that for decades, and over the years have made the observation that when struggling with let's say, equipment problem, something that you just can't get working properly, and I'll break for lunch, and then notice that when I get back from lunch, I can see the issue and clearer, and usually get things resolved. And it's really amazing. It's like, is there a connection? Is it the gut-brain connection, or is it just a distraction of being away from the, you know, the problem, and you're looking away, just like what you're talking about.
Interesting.
But I think that there could be the gut-brain connection there that could be helping out as well.
Mike, thanks a lot for the call. Richard, what do you think? Is it the eating or the stepping away that's helping Mike solve these problems?
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's a gut-brain connection, though. I don't know if that's been looked at, mm-hmm. but I definitely think the stepping away is helpful, because your brain is still working on it, even when you're not like explicitly thinking about it. There's some really interesting research from over a century ago by like a Russian psychologist showing that if you give people problems to solve and you interrupt some of the problems, they are more likely to remember the problems that were interrupted than the ones that they actually solved. So it seems like your brain is holding on to those unfinished questions, and probably working on it while you're on your lunch break.
Mike, thanks a lot for that call. Richard, in our last minute, it seems like there's a practical takeaway. I think one mode of thinking is when you're in school, you nose to the book, keep plugging away. You're at work, you know, grind for 12 hours a day. It seems like recess and lunch breaks and all those things really are actually going to make us more productive.
Yeah, I definitely think so. I don't always practice it because it feels like, oh, if I just sit there, I will figure it out. But no, I think the research is pretty clear that if you can take a break, you should allow yourself to take that break. You know, it relieves your stress, which puts in you in a better mental state, but also gives you like a break from a set mode of thinking. And if you get a change of scenery, you might get different stimulation to your brain, which leads to different thoughts, which might lead to a different solution to the problems that you've been having. And one final thing is just, I would encourage people to think about what experiences, what settings seem to really help you personally for being in this creative mode of thinking. You know, all our minds are different. So what gives us that relaxed, you know, mind wandering, mind meandering state is going to be different for you than for someone else. But you have the ability to think about what that is for you and try to use it.
Richard, thanks for joining us. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, this was great, Rob. Thank you.
That's Richard Sima, the Brain Matters columnist at the Washington Post Well-Being Desk, covering the science, a neuroscience of everyday life. He talked to us about some of the science behind creativity and these so-called shower moments, when we step away, do something different, and then come up with our creative solutions to problems. Thanks for all your calls. And you can keep sharing those, by the way, if you have something like that, the thing you go and do to help you be creative, to figure out that problem you've been mulling over at work or at home all day, email ideas@WPR.org. That's ideas@WPR.org.